With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You love.
With 1 second remaining on the shot clock.
Your home for Westwood One's March Madness and the Final Four. Yeah! Sports Radio 950 KJR AM and KJR FM HD2 Seattle.
National championship!
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Sports headlines in the 4 o'clock hour, as always, brought to you by our friends and buddies, Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddies. Kevin Mather has resigned as the Mariners president and CEO following his controversial appearance on a Bellevue Rotary Zoom call earlier in the month. Majority owner John Stanton will take over the duties until someone is hired. We're taking your phone calls at 286-959-54. One more segment here. If you want to jump aboard, do it right now. Hawks guard Mike Iupati retiring after 11 years in the league. Mike Florio reporting the salary cap's going to be between $180, $184 million for 2021 and likely even narrowing it down further to between $182 and $83 million. Rockets are releasing DeMarcus Cousins. They're going to eat the remaining $2.3 million on his contract for this season. Timberwolves have fired head coach Ryan Saunders after a 7-24 start to the season. They're hiring Raptors assistant coach Chris Finch as their new head man. And a Yale medical study has revealed that hosting NFL and college football games did not register a significant increase in the level of COVID cases per 100,000 people in the counties that allowed the games to have fans. Softy and Dick, hour number two, here until 7 o'clock. Without the soft one, Tony Softly is joining us. Obviously, the Mariners situation taking priority today over what we thought was going to be a football-dominated conversation. We'll still talk some football, don't you worry, because Andrew Brandt's going to join us at 5:20 today. But I do want to give you one more opportunity. We had a bunch of people waiting online at 286-9595, but now the phone lines are open. They didn't want to wait through the break, so they got an opportunity right now at 286-9595, 1-800-829-0950. And I just want to ask you, Tony, and ask the Mariner faithful, how much belief do you have that this franchise, with all the attrition, with all the moving parts and the getting away from what it was, and this is another step in that with Kevin Mather no longer here, how much faith do you have that this is enough now to change that culture that you spoke about in the last segment?
You know, I still think they're going to have to weed through this process, and the ownership now understands where they were. If they didn't understand what was going on before then, to kind of filter through all this. I think it's talking to the players is going to be key. It's going to be monumental to get on the page with them and say, hey, listen, you know, this is where we are going forward. You know, and basically it's almost like a recruiting process. Are you with us? I mean, you know, because there's going to be some players that are going to be a little upset over what was said. Now, is it trade me, get me the hell out of here? No. But is there some concern by the players? We'll see what that fallout's going to be. But I think that they've got a ways to go to really, let me just put it to you this way. You know, a black eye stays for just a little while. This is going to stay a little longer than that, but it'll soon go away, as long as ownership takes the right steps to cure that process.
Well, I'm wondering how much the comments about what people were paid or being paid,
yes,
is going to really bother the players. I mean, he mentioned, you know, the potential. He mentioned Taiwan Walker's contract, said he wasn't going to get 3 years. Mm-hmm. He got 3 years.
Right.
He mentioned James Paxton before they signed James Paxton, that they were hoping to get him back for a song. He mentioned Evan White's deal in a way that almost kind of made it feel like, yeah, we got a great deal there, man. He signed with us, you know, he signed with us for a long term because he got the bird in hand. He mentioned the Jared Kelenic situation. Well, he doesn't want to take the money right now. He's betting on himself, you know, almost kind of like a dismissive, okay, whatever, you know, you don't want to take the money now. Well, we got you under club control right now. Just the Kyle Seager, you know, Kyle Seager's a great guy. He's overpaid, but he's a great leader and he's a great guy. I mean, there was a lot of finances thrown out in that, yes, that I'm sure will bother the players. Let's go to Jeff in Maple Valley. Thanks for hanging on. What's up, Jeff?
Thank you for taking my call, Dick and Tony.
Yeah.
The way our franchise, I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, but the way our franchise is run is such polar opposite from what a successful franchise is. I mean, when you really look at the total picture of everything, they've never tried to run it like they wanted to win the World Series. I mean, right down to people in the kitchen should accept nothing except excellence all the way through your organization. We live in the second best professional city in America outside of San Diego, and you can't sell your own city to free agents because your team is run such like an amateur program that nobody even wants to come here. When you're worried about your service time starting for your superstars, instead of putting your best team on the player, instead of having such a good franchise knowing that you'll be able to sign them long-term on the back end of their contract, you're running your program all ass backwards. I just don't get it. And I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you
bet.
Very much.
And certainly, thanks for the call, Jeff. And certainly, Tony, when you make a comment like, well, we don't let employees park in our tiny parking lot because we can charge $30, $40, $50 to have people come and park. I mean, but we do give them police escorts to their car. So I just want to let you know that, right? At least that's what he said. I don't know if that's actually the case or not. I sit at Jimmy's an awful lot. I've sat there before and after Mariners games. I haven't seen a lot of police escorting Mariner employees back to their cars. Curtis is shaking his head too. He's been down there. I haven't seen that happen, but you know, all right, we'll take him at face value there. But I mean, that's the thing. I've been saying this on this radio station for 20 years. I remember talking about the 90-93 ratio, and what I meant by that's 90-90-3. I made this silly little ratio back in 2001, 2002, when I was doing Saturday shows from 12 to 4, you know, in the afternoon all summer long, saying, hey, as long as they've got 3 million fans, they're happy with a $90 million payroll and 90 wins. And that was kind of my 90-93 ratio. Well, the problem is, hey, can we get back to 90-90-3? Can we get? I mean, that was bad back then, and now it's like, God bless the days of $90 million payroll, 90 wins, and 3 million fans. I mean, that was the glory days when we were getting 90, when we were getting 3 million fans. Now it's a payroll that. It's a $60 million payroll right now because you're paying nobody right now on this baseball team. It's going to be, you know, I still think they're going to win more than 70 games this year, but you could say it's a 65-65 and 1.5 this year when it comes to what the ratio is going to be. But it's just, they have always shown, whether they want to say it or not, they have always shown that the import of finances is more important than how many wins and losses that they have.
Just happy to be mediocre. And I'll tell you what, when I was 10 years old, I played baseball as a youngster, 1969 Seattle Pilots. My favorite player was Tommy Harper, left fielder. And he was my favorite player because I would sit out in left field and every now and then he'd flip us a ball and we'd fight for it as kids, you know, ride my Stingray bicycle down.
There you go.
I go away from Seattle because of the NFL for 18 years. I come back, and Jerry DePoto is the general manager. And even before that, I've been reading on it. It was like, you know, we're going to be better 2-3 years down the road.
It's always down the road.
Hey,
yes.
How about now? I mean, yeah. I sat there in St. Louis and watched the Cardinals win 2 World Series out of my 8 years in the town. And I loved every minute of it. Third baseline, 18 rows up. Hey, man, this is what it's about. In November, I'm freezing my you-know-what off, but I'm loving it. I just don't understand. There's no hungriness and I obviously work in the NFL. If you're not getting it done, you're gone. The GM's gone. The head coach is gone. We're getting rid of players. We're getting people in here. There never seems to be that urgency to win and win now. And that really bothered me. And still bothers me about the organization.
Bob in Bothell, thanks for hanging on. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Dick, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
Having the pleasure in meeting you and with my wife and all that, you know what's sad about this, sir, is the fact that my mom, she comes from Mexico, and she came from Guadalajara, and, you know, I was born here and all that. But the sad thing of it is that the one sport that she really loved was baseball. Mm-hmm. Just loved it. Loved the Mariners. Loved the one pitcher from the L.A. that threw the no-hitter back in the 80s for Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, just all that. And I asked her one time, you know, because I was more of a Seahawk fan and UW fan. Mom, why do you always like the Mariners? And she goes, you know, because it takes me away from the racist crap that I hear about my English. And hearing that, what the CEO of a Mariners organization says, just, it broke me. Hmm. Just like, wow. You know, because she stuck by the Mariners thick and thin. And luckily enough, you know, before she passed away in 2008, you know, she got to experience the 95 season and loved it. And, you know, just hearing that, her saying that, you know, it just takes me away from all the stuff that she had to deal with being an immigrant in America. That was sad.
That was
to hear that someone that, you know.
No, I guess on behalf of the Mariners, I'll apologize to your mom, because that was the part. I appreciate the call. That was the part to me, and I sat and listened to this whole thing. I want to make sure, Tony, that I sat and listened to it in its full context. Because you can read things on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
You can read quotes. You can hear 20-second sound bites. And you can make your opinion of what he said or what he didn't say. And I was like, I am not going to sit up here from 3 to 7 today not having listened to the entirety of what he had to say in its full context, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. And in all of that, the part where it really crossed the line for me was exactly what Bob was talking about there. I mean, the inside baseball stuff and the taking shots at Kyle Seager and the taking shots at this and the taking shots at the, you know, the Mariner, the Seahawks parade. Oh, we'll really do it. You know, we'll do it the right way. You know, that type of stuff. I was like, wow, that's brutally honest, but it didn't necessarily cross the line for me. Calling Kyle Seager certainly doesn't cross the line for me, since I've done it for 7 years on this radio station. Mm-hmm. So I can't exactly criticize him for saying it. But yeah, the Iwakuma thing, the J-Rod thing, I was just like, totally, totally uncalled for. 413 on 950 KJR. We'll hear a little bit from Mariner president and CEO John Stanton, also the team owner, from what he had to say, and, you know, really what was a debacle of a press conference that they finally cobbled together after a lot of technical difficulties. It was very Mariner-esque, but Curtis has done a very nice job of piecing it together so it doesn't sound as bad as it did the first time.
Crabtree cleaned it up for us.
Yes, he did. Yeah. We'll hear that next on 950 KJ.
Eno.com. Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for March Madness and the Final Four. Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
We just rehired Iwakuma. Iwakuma was a pitcher for us for a number of years. Wonderful human being. His English is terrible. He wanted to get back into the game. He wanted to, and he came to us, and we quite frankly want him as our Asian scout interpreter. What's going on in the Japanese league? He's coming to spring training, and I made the statement, I'm tired of paying his interpreter. Because when he was a player, you know, we'd pay Iwakuma X, but we also had to pay $75,000 a year to have an interpreter with him. His English suddenly got better. His English got better when we told him that.
Just one of the many tracks on Kevin Mather's greatest hits during the Zoom chat with the Bellevue Rotary. He is no longer the president and chief executive officer of the Seattle Mariners as of a few hours ago, where he resigned, so John Stanton did not have to fire him. Would John Stanton have fired him? Well, we will find out the answer to that question as we sift through, and God bless Curtis Crabtree. He sifted through what was the debacle of a audio-video problem with the Zoom. You know, I can figure, Tony, I can figure out a Zoom on a Friday night with my buddies over a few cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
But the Mariners couldn't.
How about preparation?
So Curtis figured it out. He chopped up the 20 minutes of audio-video issues they had and got it down into concise segment here. So here is John Santin today. This is after he read the statement that Kevin Mather resigned, and it begins with a question from Ryan Divish at Seattle Times.
John, can you walk us through the last 24 hours when you found out what Kevin had said and up until the point he resigned, and did you consider firing him at any point?
Let me first apologize for the video and audio quality. We're obviously all living in the age of COVID and Zoom. Thank you for your question, Ryan. I first learned about that the comments existed from a tweet yesterday late morning, and then got a hold of the YouTube link and read a transcript. I was terribly concerned about that. I talked to Kevin, and then I talked to a number of other people in our organization, including most of my partners and much of management. I came in this morning, and Kevin was prepared to resign, and I accepted his resignation.
John, I'd asked if had Kevin not resigned, would you have fired him based on the comments that he made?
Ryan, thanks for your question. I didn't have to make that decision. I came in this morning and Kevin resigned. I believe that that's the right answer for the organization.
A question from Corey Brock.
Hi, John. In terms of making amends, as you mentioned in the statement, it seems like that's going to be a lengthy process. How do you even begin to go about that, especially touching on various people, various departments, team employees, the fan base? It seems a little daunting. Can you tell us a little bit about what this is going to be like?
Thanks for the question, Corey. You're right. This is going to be a process. It's going to be a journey. We started that journey this afternoon with conversations with our executive management team. We're going to have a call with all of our employees tomorrow. I've already talked to our owners, and I've talked to the league, and we'll continue to work with those constituents. And I'm planning to fly down to Arizona tomorrow so that I can talk to our coaches, our staff, and our players.
A question from Chris Francis.
John, thanks for doing this, especially on such short notice. How do you regain the trust of the players? That seems to be one of the biggest factors here. They're some of them are directly insulted.
Thanks, Chris. Trust is built over time. It can be lost quickly, but it is built over time. And I know that many people in the organization, including me, have worked to build a trusting relationship with our players, the new players as they've arrived. I've certainly feel like I have a pretty good relationship with a number of the players that have been there, and that will be tested with the process over the next few days and over the next few months. But ultimately, Chris, the answer is that we're going to have to continue to work at it and work at it every day.
A question from Larry Stone.
Yeah. Hey, John. In his remarks to the Bellevue Club, Rotary Club, Kevin unveiled a strategy that could be construed and is being construed as service time manipulation. How would you respond to that? And do you feel the need to address that in particular with Jared Kelnick?
The decisions in baseball are made by Jerry DePoto and the baseball operations team. That has and will continue to be the case, the comments Kevin made notwithstanding. I believe that...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Gary has and Scott has talked to Jared and will continue to. We view Jared to be an extraordinarily talented young man, and we are very much looking forward to having him in a Seattle Mariners uniform. Jerry and Scott will make that decision as to when.
Question from Shannon Dreher.
John, thank you for doing this. You mentioned just disappointment in the comments that you heard. What was your immediate concern specifically when you did find out what was said?
Well, there were a number of comments made by Kevin that, as I've said, didn't reflect the Mariners, don't reflect what I believe, what our ownership believes, and were inappropriate. And those comments included some of the things that have been referenced with respect to our players, and in particular, the importance of diversity and inclusion in our organization. And we have that as a central value to the organization, and we will do everything we can to continue to deliver on that commitment.
Question from Tim Booth.
John, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Kevin has a small stake in ownership of the franchise. Will he retain that and still be associated with the franchise in that way?
He does have a small ownership stake. Frankly, we haven't addressed that issue yet.
Question from Jessamyn McIntyre.
Hi, John. Thank you very much for your time. It's good to see you. Obviously, not the best circumstances. When it comes to Julio Rodriguez, he's someone who could really be a foundational player for this franchise. When you heard his reaction to Mather's comments, what did you think, and have you spoken with him directly?
Thanks, Jess. It's nice to see you as well. The Julio is an incredibly talented young man, and we very much look forward to having him in our organization for many years. I was disappointed in Kevin's comments with respect to Julio, in part because I know how hard Julio has worked on his language skills. I follow him on social media, and I enjoy his the messages that he delivers. I'm going to try to talk to him when I'm down in Arizona Wednesday, but I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet.
Question from Ryan Divish.
Now, do you feel it's important to get face-to-face with these players as a group, individually? How are you going to handle that moving forward again? Because it seems like there's a lot to unpack from all the things he said in 45 minutes. And the general trust within the fan base, within the players, within the staff seems to be lost or eroded completely. What do you do? First steps.
Brian, I don't agree with your premise. I don't think that the trust has been completely eroded. I believe that Jerry is highly respected. I believe that Scott is highly respected. And in the clubhouse, those are the two people, Scott in particular, that the players look at. I think that that's who many of the fans look to as well. Kevin's comments did not reflect the values of this organization, as I've said a couple of times already. In terms of building trust going forward, you build trust over time and you build that relationship by communicating honestly, consistently, and doing it in a way that is able to meet those, both the players and the fans. Specifically with respect to the players, I feel like, you know, for guys like Kyle Seager and James Paxton and Marco Gonzalez, you know, I have tried to spend time with them since they arrived in the organization, and I will continue to do that, as well as guys like Justice Sheffield and Justin Dunn and obviously Mitch Haniger. So we will do everything we can as an organization to continue to build that trust. But I do think it's important to not lose sight of the fact that the primary responsibility for baseball operations resides with Jerry DePoto. And I think that Jerry does everything he can to build good relationships, as does Scott.
Question from Curtis Crabtree.
Hey, John. With Jared Kelnick and Julio Rodriguez being two-year marquee prospects, you guys have spent the last couple of years creating this rebuild and progressing towards where they're going to be a part of this. With Kevin's comments kind of having them at, you know, kind of the middle of this thing here, I know you said you don't feel trust has been eroded, but the team president kind of making those kind of comments seems like it might be tough to at least get them to see it, that there's not a trust loss there. I mean, even if you don't feel like it represents the team, they could. And how do you kind of square those and make sure it's not this massive road bump that you guys hit here as you're trying to get this thing on the right track?
Thanks, Curtis. I'm going to view today and yesterday as low points in terms of those relationships. We have got to do everything we can, and we will do everything we can to continue to build the relationships with those young players. And there are many more young players that, you know, many of whom aren't even on the 40-man or even invited to camp. We are building an organization that is going to play championship baseball over a long period of time. And that depends on building a trusting relationship with our players and our fans and our staff. And we're going to do everything we can to build that going forward.
Question from Ryan Divish.
I only have one question this time. It's my last one. You've said multiple times that Kevin's views don't reflect this organization. I mean, he's literally the CEO and president. Other than you, there is nobody else that probably views reflect an organization more than that. I mean, he's in the preeminent leadership position other than yourself. I just don't know that how you can construe that fans would believe that on some level.
Well, Ryan, just like any relationship and just like the relationship we have with all of you, we can just do our best job to try to improve what we are. Kevin's departure, I think, is a statement with respect to the commitment that we have. He recognized that he made a mistake and that he recognized the only way to cure that mistake was to resign. I recognize it's important to move forward and was willing to take on this role on an interim basis, and I'm doing that. But I would encourage you to think of an organization as more than one or two leaders, any more than the Seattle Times is simply a reflection of your publisher. The Times is a reflection of the work you do every day, Ryan. It's the reflection of the work that Larry does. Each of your organizations is a reflection of both the people who do the work as well as the leaders. And we're that too. You know, we're trying to get better. We're going to get better. We're going to focus on it. And when there is a mistake, you've got to apologize, correct, and move on.
It's John Stanton. Good chunk of the press conference today. And to the final question there, I mean, I think it's warranted to ask. I mean, the whole "these comments are my own" piece by Kevin Mather, and then that was reiterated by John Stanton in the press conference. I just can't believe that Kevin Mather has not had conversations exactly like that behind closed doors with the Seattle Mariners, because as I mentioned to you earlier, Tony, he said them with such just flippancy.
Yes.
I mean, you don't, if he were to have said those things behind closed doors and been scolded for them by John Stanton and say, "Listen, that's not how we run this ship here, dude. We don't talk about our players this way." He wouldn't have said it to the Bellevue Rotary that way.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
I
right.
I mean, that's just common sense. Now, I like John Stanton. I do. I've had good run-ins with John Stanton, good conversations with John Stanton. I know he can definitely run a business. There's no question about that. I don't know if he can run a baseball team, but I have always said, sitting here with Softy for the last few years since Howard Lincoln stepped aside and John Stanton filled that role, I have said, hey, I am not going to punish John Stanton for the sins of the Howard Lincoln Mariners era. And maybe this is what the franchise needed. Maybe this was kind of that last piece of out with the old, in with the new. But the pressure's on John now, Tony. The pressure is on John to find an experienced, well-thought-of baseball guy to come in that makes Mariner fans go, wow.
Yes.
Because the Seahawks did it with Mike Holmgren,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They were a mess. and they're like, whoa. You were able to bring Mike Holmgren to the Seattle freaking Seahawks? The Mariners did it with Lou Piniella and Pat Gillick.
Yes.
Wow. You were able to bring Lou Piniella and Pat some World Series experience to the Seattle Mariners. And guess what? It worked for both franchises. Now's the time for John Stanton to do that. He has to bring a wow president and GM to the Seattle Mariners.
Yeah, and I totally agree. It's got to be a wow. It's got to be a hit out of the park, no pun intended. But the one thing that grabbed me and what John Stanton said was is that it's about I'm going to fly down tomorrow and talk to the players, mm-hmm. the coaches, and the staff. Boom.
It's good.
Boom, because that's a, because until they get that hire done, he needs to put out the fires. He needs to calm everything down and get everything moving in the same direction in an optimal manner. And he's got to be the one to do that until he brings in the next piece. And to me, that's critical right now. That is so critical.
440 on 950 KJR. More of your thoughts on testimonials through our text line at 49451. Coming up next, Softy and Dick without the soft one, but with Tony Softly here on a Monday on 950 KJR.
Now.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler
and Dick Fain.
Softy and Dick without the soft one this week. Tony Softly is in today. He will be in tomorrow as well.
Yes, sir.
Jerry Brewer on Wednesday. I mean, we got an all-star cast.
Jerry Brewer, huh?
JB on Wednesday today. Wednesday this week, we've got Husky basketball on Thursday, so we won't even have a show on Thursday. We're being preempted by early Husky basketball on Thursday. And then D. Watts on Friday today. So we got great, great co-hosts this week. Curtis, I don't imagine you had too much problem with the quantity of texts today on 49451. It was just finding which ones were the best of the hundreds you got that were Mariner related.
There were a couple.
Let's get to them right now. What do you got?
The Mariners have somehow found a way to make me care about them even less.
Oh, that's the thing. I mean, when you're already at the bottom, no matter what you do, can the public opinion be worse?
I mean, win now. Win now.
Well, they're not going to win now, Tony.
They've got some good young players.
They do. They'll win more.
Of the year, Lewis?
Yeah. They'll win more now than they did last year and probably the year before. But I think the win now part is going to be at least a year away. And it's no different in football, Tony. I mean, you know, if you've got a team filled with, you know, if you've got a 22-year-old quarterback and a bunch of guys that are in their first contracts, you know, you got some talent, you got some things where you're looking at going, okay, I like this team we're building here, but you're not expecting to go 11-5 with that team either and maybe make the second round of the playoffs.
Yeah, maybe not record-wise, but those guys are playing now. Baseball's totally different. Those guys, those young players are hidden away somewhere. You don't even get to see or even get mentioned on some of those guys. Football, you're either playing or you're in the depth or you're out.
Right.
It's quick and dirty, baby.
No farm system. What do you got?
Exactly.
What do you got, Curtis?
Do you think Gilbert and Kelenic have a better shot breaking with the team out of spring to change the narrative?
Well, I mean, even Mather said they were going to be with the team very early.
Yeah.
Early in the season. So, I mean, I think that I don't know if this changes the timeline because you certainly don't want something off the field to change what would be the best timeline for your players to be ready to go, and particularly a pitcher. I mean, I'm much more apt to baby a pitcher than I am baby a hitter.
Like quarterbacks. And let me ask you a question. How many come to training camp?
They got their 40-man, and then they have a non-roster invitees.
Yeah, it's not a set number camp in the NFL. It's you have your 40-man roster, and then a bunch of, as Dick mentioned, there's the veterans that are on minor league deals that have spring training invites. The number ends up being about double that.
Gotcha.
Maybe not quite double that, but around 75, 80.
This year, yes, usually. I think this year it's even less. There's less just because of social distancing things. COVID, they have less non-roster invitees.
They
nuke
some minor league teams.
Exactly. Gotcha. Like Felix Hernandez is a non-roster invitee this year.
Wow. For Baltimore.
Not for the Mariners, but for the Orioles like he was with the Braves last year. What do you got?
What Tony is trying to say is one of the oldest business axioms, the fish rots from the head.
Fish rots from the head. Is that right? Does a fish really rot from the head? I would imagine it does. That's where all the openings are.
But, out of my purview there. I'm not a fisher.
I would think so, yes.
I've never had a fish long enough to watch it rot from the head, so I wouldn't know. I mean, that puppy's filleted and in the grill and in my gut before I ever worry about it rotting.
Well, it's like the stink in the basement will rise to the attic. It's the same analogy.
Exactly. God. Good stuff. What's next?
The Mariners bunch has spoiled. Was it just one bad apple that spoiled them all? All of them must go. Either they allowed themselves to get spoiled or they were already spoiled. We need all new front office personnel.
We got a lot of food analogies today on Textimonials.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of saying. I mean, somebody had... This isn't the first time. If he said that in public, it's been said before in that organization. And who did he say it to? Who was listening? Who was a part of all of that?
Right.
I mean, where's the culture in that organization right now? And I think that's what John Stanton's got to go talk to the players, coaches, and staff about. And can he do that quickly? It'll get better over time, but...
It's one thing if Kevin Mather was talking to his underlings at the Mariners who don't have the gumption... or the say to say, you know, you shouldn't be saying that about Julio Rodriguez. You shouldn't be saying that about Kyle Seager. You shouldn't be saying that about Asashi Iwakuma. It's one thing for that. I can understand him saying, you know, in-house talk to those guys and them not pushing back because, I mean, he's the president of the team. I'm not going to...
Part owner.
Exactly. I'm not going to say anything to him. It's another thing for him to say that to John Stanton and have no pushback. Now, I don't know for a fact that he said it to John Stanton. I just know that he was really comfortable saying it to a bunch of people he didn't know in Bellevue.
Wow.
What's next?
I used to work NFL sidelines communications for Seahawks for visiting teams. You could tell the good teams from the bad. Good teams had very detailed, specific setups. Coach so-and-so wants two headphones set up. Other coach wants single-ear speaker. Bad teams were completely unorganized. That's the Mariners on the bad side.
Well, and that could be, I mean, again, that's like the audio-video problems they had for this press conference today. I mean, it's just, I know it's a little thing, but when you have a, nobody would have thought anything about that if it was the Sounders doing it, or the Seahawks doing it, or the Storm doing it. They'd have said, oh man, there just must have been some technical difficulty. Because it's the Mariners, they're like, well, they don't know what the hell they're doing over there. You know, they can't even run a Zoom call when I do it with my friends on Friday night. We've had four margaritas.
It didn't sound good.
Did not sound good. One more, then we got to go to break. What do we got?
Only front office hire they could make that wild move the needle for this trash organization is Theo Epstein.
Yep, and he's out for this year, so maybe they hold out. I mean, that would be the guy, right?
Wow.
I mean, that would be the wow move. You go to Theo Epstein, you say, hey, I understand. I realize that you say that you're going to be a consultant or whatever for Major League Baseball this year, and you're not going to be with a team. What is your price, Theo? What is your price? Name it, and it's over with. That's as far as the search needs to go, in my opinion.
Would he take it?
I don't know. Lou took it. Pat Gillick took it. Mike Holmgren took it.
Yeah.
Why the hell would Mike Holmgren want to come to Seattle? I mean, I guess because he had general manager and coach say, which he didn't in Green Bay.
Yeah, that was huge.
But Theo's never been a president. I mean, you're basically giving Theo a promotion, too.
I think if you give him the same that you gave Kevin.
Yeah, president and CEO.
And some ownership.
That's up top. That's... way higher than general manager.
I think he'd become runner for that one.
I think so. 455 on 950 KJ. I want to switch the focus. I got to talk to you about a man named KJ Wright who said a few things on national TV today that I think Seahawk fans might be slightly interested in hearing. We'll do that next after the top of the hour headlines on 950.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry.
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.